Unity.com.
Well, that was interesting. Thanks, Otis, for that very inspiring non-reading from the Bible. So, in case you haven't been here for a few weeks, you're hearing some things in this little special feature, which, you know, they're not from the Bible. Yeah, it's true. It is. And hence the name of our series. The Bible doesn't say that. So we've been looking at these different expressions, different sayings that people often use in life. And some people think they actually are like biblical, that they come right out of the Bible, and that they clearly speak the truth about who God is. But as we're finding out, the Bible doesn't say that. So we're looking at one saying today, and the saying or expression is this: when God closes a door, he always opens a window. Okay, when God closes a door, he always opens the window. A little spoiler alert, the Bible doesn't say that. Now, does anybody know what that's from? Wow, I thought for sure people would know this one. Anybody know who made that famous saying? Saying famous? No, not Max Lucado.
Oprah?
Not Oprah. Here we go. Can you show the picture? Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music, or specifically Maria, because they have a conversation. And it is said, well, when God opens a door, when God closes the door, he always opens a window. All right? So it sounds biblical, but the Bible doesn't say that. It's just an expression. Now, the closest thing that we have to it, I guess, in Scripture, if you're trying to find something that sort of parallels it, is a description of God in Revelation 3, 7 through 8. Jesus is speaking, and he's referred to as the one who holds the key, and what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Now, in this letter that he's giving to a specific church, he's not talking about opportunities in life, though. He's talking about salvation. Okay, so there's kind of a big difference. So that's the closest passage that might parallel things in the Bible. Now, even though the Bible doesn't say that, here's one thing that we want to consider. Even though the Bible doesn't say that, in my experience, and probably in yours too at times, it seems like this statement is still true. Okay, that God does open doors or close doors in our life. I mean, one opportunity mysteriously crumbles right before our eyes. We think that's where we're supposed to be going. We think that's what God wants, and then all of a sudden, it's taken away. But mysteriously and coincidentally, another one comes in its place. So even though the saying isn't true or in the Bible, it certainly seems to be true, at least at times, of God, but not all the time. And I was considering this saying this week, though, if you think about it. There's a variation of this, too. When God closes one door, he opens another. You know, some people, that softens it a little bit, because then you're going through a door that God has opened. It's just a different door. And, you know, door number one, door number two, door number three. But when God closes a door, he always opens a window. I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, well, when God shuts a door, when God bolts a door closed or locks it, it's probably for a reason. And if we're trying, I mean, he obviously doesn't want us to get in there. So if we're trying to get into the building through the window, well, that's just breaking and entering, right? Think about it. It makes you a burglar or a trespasser or something. It might even be hard to say that's God's will. If the door isn't open and we're climbing in through a window, we may actually be fighting against God's will. So that's something we can be thinking about in this saying. But the idea of God's will is really at the core of the statement, though. It's trying to understand God's will. We're trying to understand God's will. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he wrote to his followers that we should be trying to discern what pleases God. And in verse 17 of Ephesians 5, he says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, our goal as followers of Jesus should be to live according to God's will in our lives. The problem is understanding God's will can sometimes be confusing. It can be a little difficult. So how do we figure out what pleases the Lord? Right? How do we, like Ephesians tells us to do, in other words, how do we know or discover what the Lord's will is for us? So that's the topic that we're on this week. We also began it last week, and we looked at five different things that can help us discover or know what the Lord's will is. Now, I would encourage you, if you happen to not be here last week, it's worth going back and listening to the message and getting those 5 points because they're in a little bit greater detail. But in the event that you happen to not be here last week, I'll recap them for you real quick, okay? So five things that helped us do that. First of all, we have to be walking with God. We have to walk with God. Following God, determining His will, it's not just religious duty. It's about cultivating a relationship with Him. That's what He wants from us. So we need to be walking with Him if we want to understand His will. The second thing is surrender to Him. Because, see, we're so often determined to just do our own thing, and we hope God's kind of on board with us, right? But we need to be willing to surrender to Him. The third thing we talked about last week was obey His word. Obey His word. The vast majority of how we're supposed to live and things we're supposed to do are laid out for us in Scripture. And so if we aren't willing to take a look at Scripture and find out what the Bible has to say for us, and follow that starting point, even if God gives us some further clarity on His will for us, how likely are we to listen to that, okay? So obey His word. The fourth thing we talked about was listen to God's Spirit. Right, we've got to pray. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and pay attention and listen for His voice. And then the last thing we mentioned last week was seeking godly input. There are people in your life who may be a few steps ahead of you spiritually that you can rely upon and go to with questions and ask for prayer. They may challenge you. They may encourage you. And so make sure you're seeking godly input. So those are the five things that we talked about last week, just a quick bring you up to speed. And we're going to continue with that list today. And there's a few more things that we can add to the list to help us know or discover God's will for us. Now, last week's list was a little bit more concrete than this week's list, okay? Obey God's word, listen to His voice, seek godly input. It was a little bit more concrete, pretty straightforward. And the overarching idea was this, that God's will doesn't bend to our desires, but we need to bend our desires to God's will, okay? Now this week, it's a little less concrete. Some of these things I'm going to mention. So it's important that as we work through these, that we're keeping this in mind. It's only one piece of the picture of trying to discover God's will. Okay, there's a number of things mentioned. We can't just rely upon any particular one of these, or it might get a little iffy. And here's, so you'll kind of see what that means as we roll. So the sixth thing, or first thing today on your list, consider your circumstances. Okay, consider your circumstances. God sometimes demonstrates His plan for our lives by lining certain circumstances up around us. And it becomes very obvious. So look at your life, look at your personality, look at your physical situation, and look at the circumstances of your life. Consider your circumstances. Sometimes they might be indicators of what God's will is for you. For instance, if you are a 5'9", overweight, non-athlete who can't jump or dribble or shoot, you probably aren't called to play professional basketball. Just saying, I figured that out in my life. It took me a while, till about junior year in high school when I couldn't make the team. But that's, I digress. Yeah, look around you, look at your circumstances. Sometimes, quite simply, God has other things in mind because you can see that in your circumstances. Now, this may be also one area, your circumstances, where this expression, when God closes a door, He opens another or opens a window, where it may come into play. Acts 16, in Acts chapter 16, we actually hear about Paul who is on his second missionary journey. He wanted to take the gospel message into Asia, But the Holy Spirit didn't allow it. Okay? He closed that door. I'm going to read the passage, but as I read the passage, I want you to take a look at the map that we've got. For those who are listening to the podcast, just so that you get the comedy of this moment, when I asked everyone to look at the map, the word map came up on the screen. Pay no attention to the word map on the screen. That's not going to help. You know, sometimes Bob makes mistakes on there, and like, I got to pay the price. I don't get it. It's not cool. Oh, yeah, there was a map. So anyway, so listen to the words. Pay no attention to the alleged map on the screen. Acts 16, 6 through 10. Hey, you rely upon technology, that's what you get, right? All right, here's the words, though. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by, and there it is. I know, but that's it. It's a sample of the map, of the journey that he took. All right, so we're following the red line. Now it comes up. Now I got to back up. Just so you know, when the podcast comes out, Bob made this thing like 10 minutes longer to interact with this moment. So, all right, so they went through the region of Phrygia. You can see that there. And Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. You can see he's kind of going around. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. You can't actually see Bithynia as the orange up on the top. They attempted to go that way, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, they didn't go into Asia. They wanted to. They didn't go into Bithynia. They wanted to, but God closed those doors. Sometimes in our circumstances, God closes a door to show us what he clearly does not want us to do. Right? That's the crux of that expression. God closed the doors to Asia and Bithynia for Paul. Sometimes God opens us a door to show us what he does want us to do. God opened the doors to Macedonia instead. Now, eventually, Paul did go to Asia. On his third missionary journey, he spent quite a bit of time there. But God had other plans this time. Now, disclaimer on this, just because a door is open to us doesn't necessarily mean we're supposed to walk through it. Right? That would be easy for us to assume. Right? So again, this is one area to consider. The circumstances. Consider the circumstances, but it's just one aspect. It can help us determine as well sometimes, though. Okay, so that is consider your circumstances. The next thing is acknowledge your gifts. Acknowledge your gifts. Look, you have gifts and talents and abilities that no one else has. Right? You need to use what God has given you in order to accomplish his purposes in the world. That's what he wants for you. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Okay? As you've received a gift, you're supposed to use it. So, acknowledge your gifts. You know, we have a few people who are pretty gifted teachers here at Portico. We have a lot of talented musicians. We have some handymen and handywomen. We have some who are great at encouraging or challenging others. Look, your gifts matter. Your talents matter. Your ability matters. If they didn't, God would have made us all with the same skill set and the same gifting and the same abilities, but he didn't do that. Instead, he's gifted you uniquely. And so when you're seeking to discover God's will for your life, you've got to pay attention to how he's wired you. Okay? Because most likely his plan for you is going to have something to do with the gifts he's given you to use. Okay? And the cool thing is because he's gifted you in a certain way, then when you discover what his will is for you, you're probably going to be pretty good at the thing that he calls you to do, because he's gifted you for it. Okay, so we've got to acknowledge our gifts. Next thing, pay attention to your passions. Pay attention to your passions. So we all have unique gifts, but we also have areas that we are passionate about. Right? That's something you need to pay attention to as well. If you really get excited about helping children grow in their faith, then you probably need to make sure you're involved in the children's ministry in some way. Right? If you're passionate about music and have a talent and gift for that, and those two things match up, you probably want to explore that area. If you're passionate about Bible study, if you're passionate about prayer, you should be finding ways to use those passions for God's purposes. Now, also important in a general sense, that doesn't mean we should just blow off anything that doesn't exactly fit our passion, because there's a lot of things that wouldn't happen otherwise, even in a church community. Look, there are always going to be aspects of serving God that we don't fully enjoy. You know, for instance, when I think of our student ministry leaders as an example, they love the high school and middle school students. They're great at connecting, and they love spending time with them, leading small groups, things like that. They're pretty passionate about that, I think, in general. It doesn't mean they're super passionate about having to go into a small group room afterwards and pick up all the papers and trash that was left behind by those students, right? But it's kind of part of the deal. We don't just go, oh, well, that's not my passion. Some things just do come with the territory of serving. Okay, now here's a verse that I came across about passion, and this might seem a little, it's Romans 12:11, and here's what it says: do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. We're supposed to have some zeal. So this is about passion, isn't it? Right? You guys have probably all seen that Geico commercial with the sloth drawing the line at a super slow pace. I had a tandem bike, and he almost got a line this long before the timer ran out. Very frustrating, right? But slothful in zeal, right? We should have some passion and energy for serving the Lord. And there's two sides of this coin. First, whatever it is that God has called you to do, right? Whether it's in your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church, then do it as unto him with zeal and fervor. Serve him with passion. But also, again, if we have specific areas that God has put a passion in our hearts for, then we should probably be steering ourselves in that direction. He's put it there for a reason, so we've got to pay attention to our passions. Okay, next one is check your heart. Check your heart. People often use the expression or the saying like, well, you got to follow your heart. You got to listen to your heart. Things like that. For some people, that's the only criteria they use. And that's not going to work. Well, my heart is telling me I should do this. I believe in my heart that I should do that. Well, that might be part of the picture here, but our hearts can't be the only criteria we use, because our hearts often lead us astray from what God wants for us. That's why we need to check them. Sometimes our hearts are divided. Right? Our hearts want to go left when God wants us to go right. Sometimes our hearts are torn between doing God's will and going after something worldly. Sometimes our hearts aren't in it because we're tired or we're worn out. There was a story that I read this week of a woman who came up to a well-known pastor after he had preached a message. It was particularly convicting, and she had a question for him, but she was a little hesitant to come up and talk to him. She wasn't sure. She was afraid to ask about it, and he noticed her apprehension and approached her instead, and he said, "You look like you have something troubling you. Is there something you'd like to ask?" And she said, "Well, yeah, there is." And he said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Well, what I want to know is this. How can I be a Christian and yet still get my own way?" That's so often what we want, isn't it? It's the tension we live with. We want God, but we want other things too. There are a billion things enticing us, pulling at our heart, trying to get us to chase after something other than God's will. Well, here's Proverbs 4:23. And you're going to see a couple of different versions because the translations are helpful. In the ESV, we have "keep your heart with all vigilance." Sorry, "keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Here's the NIV, which says it this way: "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And the New Living Translation, similarly, "guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." We've got to guard our heart. We've got to keep our hearts checked. But here's the thing, generally speaking, when you are walking closely with the Lord, your heart's going to be in a good place. Right? But you have to check to make sure that it's lined up with what God wants for you. And remember, it's only one aspect of determining God's will. You need to check the other areas to make sure that they're in agreement as well. Okay, so check your heart. Now, here's the last point. The last point is take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. You know, there comes a point in time in our lives where in trying to determine God's will, we could be praying and praying and seeking His Word and checking our heart and doing all these things over and over and over again, but sometimes it's just time to take a step, right? We just have to take a step. Many years ago, decades ago, there was a couple from America who was traveling through England. After wandering through the streets there, they realized they had gotten lost. They could not find their way back to the train station. So there was a young boy nearby, only one walking by in the area. He was pretty young, about 10 years old, but they had no other options. So they asked him, "Well, do you know the way to the train station?" And the boy thought about it for a minute, and he's like, "Well, okay, so you need to turn right by the grocer over there, and then you take the second street to the left." He thought a little more. He's like, "Then, when you come to the street, the place where the four streets intersect, you should stop and ask someone else for directions the rest of the way." He only knew so much of the journey. Well, here's the thing. God's not looking to make His will a mystery to us, but He might not reveal it all at once. Right? It may be more of a journey than an actual destination that we're on. So sometimes we just need to take a small step of faith. It's interesting, Psalm 119, 105, a pretty famous passage. People have said it, and it's probably familiar for most of us. It's interesting. It's talking about God's Word, but it says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, if you think about it, if you're walking in the dark, your lamp will provide some light and visibility for you, but it's going to be limited. It's not going to show you the entire journey. It's not going to illuminate the entire path that you need to walk down. You won't see the whole road. You're only going to see the next step or two ahead of you. However, you can still take each step with confidence as the Lord guides you. And eventually, you'll get to where it is that He's taking you. Sometimes we need to take a step of faith, right? You keep your eyes on Jesus, and whatever the next step He calls you to take is, you do that. And then the next one, and then the next one, even if you don't know the whole plan. And each step of faith that you take is going to help reveal God's will for you just a little bit more. I came across this quote, did not come up with this quote, I came across this quote from Carlos Wallace, author, philanthropist, sort of a spiritual connection here. I honestly don't know that much about his spiritual background, but I thought the quote was really relevant for us. He says this, "I just follow God's lead, one step, one day, and one opportunity at a time. The hardest part is not becoming distracted." Look, how can we discover God's will? How can we know what the Lord's will is? Well, walk with God. Surrender to Him. Obey His word. Listen to God's Spirit. Seek godly input. Consider your circumstances. Acknowledge your gifts. Pay attention to your passions. Check your heart. And then take a step of faith. Now, last week's key idea about discovering God's will was this. God's will doesn't bend to our desires. We bend our desires to God's will. When you think about that, when you hear that, I don't know what your initial reaction is, but I know even my own, and I'm the one who wrote it, I go, there's something inside me that just wants to resist. Like, that means I don't get my way. That means I've got to take my desires and make them second to what God wants, and I don't bend easily, right? The thought of bending or surrendering my desires to God sounds like it'll be painful, or it'll be inconvenient. It's not going to be fun. But here's what I want to add on to that this week as we close. See, while it's true that God's will doesn't bend to our desires, and we have to bend our desires to His will, while that's true, here's something that's also true. When we do that, when we bend our desires to God's will, He gives us our heart's desire. He gives us our heart's desire. I'm going to say that one more time, and then we'll look at a verse. When we bend our desires to God's will, He will give us our heart's desire. Here's Psalm 37, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act." I love that first part. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's think about what that's saying. When you are walking closely with the Lord, when you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart will start to love the things that He loves. What's important to Him will become important to you. His will and what He wants starts to become your will. And your heart starts to want the things that God wants and the things that God wants for you. I think what this verse is saying is that, look, when you delight yourself in the Lord, when your heart wants what He wants, He's going to give it to you. Right? He's going to give it to you. You'll receive the desires of your heart. So when we bend our desires to God's will, He will give us the desires of our heart. Guys, He'll fill our hearts with joy. He will fill them with delight when we delight in Him. We will be able to live with passion and energy and excitement that comes from chasing after His will for your life. When you bend your desire to God's will, He'll give you the desires of your heart. We're going to close our time here in prayer. If the worship team wants to come back up, we'll have a song as well. And as we do this, I know that this is a pretty extensive list. And you think about 10 things that you can do to help determine God's will, and it sounds like a big, long checklist and all that sort of thing. And the reality is it's not an easy thing sometimes to discover His will. And all of these things are parts of what can help. But we don't want to get off track. We want to pursue His will. So it's worth considering those things. I would encourage you, if you haven't, to identify maybe some areas in your life that you're saying, I'm not sure what God's will is here. Or maybe I've been doing this for so long, I'm not sure if this is what God wants me doing. And in your email, in the Facebook of Portico page this last week, we had some guides to help. And then these are five more things we can add on to discovering his will. But we want to start this morning, end this morning, I should say, with being able to just say, God, we want to follow your will. Help us to determine what it is and to step into it wholeheartedly. So we're going to pray that prayer and then we're going to close in worship. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you don't want your will for us to be a mystery. And while there are a lot of aspects to trying to make sure we're hearing you correctly and following you correctly, we do know that our heart's desire needs to be you. That we want to delight ourselves in you. That we want what is going on in our heart to be what you want for us. Our desires to be your desires, our will to be in line with your will. And we trust that as we do that, you are going to bring joy, bring excitement and passion, and you're going to bring it to us as we follow in line with you. Because your word has promised that, that if we delight ourselves in you, you're going to give us the desires of our heart, because our heart will be a heart that wants you. Thank you for this promise. Thank you for this word for us. And God, as there are areas in our life that we might be wondering if they're in line with you, I pray for each person that's here that they would take the time to navigate through these things, even though it may not be easy. Because seeking your will and doing your will, finding out what the will of the Lord is and what pleases you, God, that's what you call us to. So help us to do that. And as we do, would you be faithful to speak to us and to reveal your will to us in our life, and to give us the strength to take the step that is needed to follow after you as we discover it. We want to lift all of this to you this morning, and we trust you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.